Tonight's year is sponsored again by the wine glass, the Ili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim, and also Refu Shleima to Rafal Chaim Ben Levi. After Yosef's brothers took him, threw him in the pit, they decided to sell him, and this group of Yishmaelim came by. And the Pasuk relates that they took him, they threw him in the boar, Vayishru lechol lechem, and then he saw these Orchas Yishmaelim Bami Gilad, and these merchants that were coming through, their Gmalehem, they had their camels, Nosim, Nochos, Tzri, Valot. So it was carrying these spices, balsam, lotus, these different spices. And they're Hochim, Lorid, Mitzrayim, and they're going to bring these things down to Mitzrayim. So the Rashi over here brings down, he says, why is it that Lamech Yersema Kasuf et Masa'am? Why do we have to be told what they were carrying? Who cares? These Yishmaelim are coming and they're going to Mitzrayim. Why does the Torah go out of its way to tell us what these Yishmaelim were carrying? So answers Rashi, Lodia Matan Scharan Shel Tzadikim. In order to tell us the reward of Tzadikim, of course in this case being Yosef, She'ein Darkan Shel Arviim Laseit El Neft Ve'itran Shereichan Ra. Because normally, these Yishmaelim, what do they usually carry with them? Bad smelling things, like neft and resin, things like that smell very bad. So what happened? Hashem made like a name. That who was the one, Dafka, coming to save Yosef, bring him down to Mitzrayim, were these merchants that were carrying some nice smelling things. So that when Yosef be traveling down to Mitzrayim, at least he won't have to, you know, go in this bad-smelling, wagon. He'll go in this nice-smelling wagon. So the question is obvious. Who cares? Like, that's what's bothering Yosef. And he's going down to be sold as a slave to Mitzrayim. So I think, nice-smelling. Who cares the nice-smelling? Where is he going here? He's going to be sold as a slave. So Hashem, what's in need to make a nace of a nice smell? He'll be a nice-smelling slave, going down to have a good smell on his way until he gets thrown into the dungeon. I mean, what was the necessity for such a nace? Since this Shabbos, Bezrat Hashem, is Hanukkah, so we'll ask a similar question with regards to Hanukkah. Right? The famous question, very famous question of the Pnei Yeshua. Now, we're all familiar that Nes Hanukkah, that they found a Pach Shemen that was enough to last for one day, and they lit it miraculously, it lit for 8 days. So ask the Pnei Yeshua, why the necessity for the Nes? Also here, why did Shem make a Nes? It was unnecessary. Why is that unnecessary? Because, says the Pnei Yeshua, we have a rule that Tuma Hutra Vetzibor. And even though they're all Tameh, but they could have lit a Shemen that was Tameh. Because since it was a tzibur, like a thing lighting the menorah, it is a tuma hutra v'tzibur. They were allowed to light this chanukiah, the menorah, in the Beit HaMikdash, even though it was, if they went up, the shemen was tameh. So why does Hashem have to do a miracle of finding one that was tar and that lasting 8 days? They could have done a betuma. Third question, also in the same vein, that is with David HaMelech. You know that David HaMelech went out to fight with the Goliath. Right, the giant. So he took a slingshot and flung it at Goliath, and it hit him in the head. And the Chazal tell us what happened. That normally, what happens if you have a force hitting something? Gravity will how will that person fall back? Right, hit him in the forehead, and he'll fall backwards from the force. But Hashem did a miracle that Goliath, even though the thing hit him in the head, he fell forward. So why? Because David HaMelech then went to cut off his head. If he would have fallen back, he would have to walk to go to his head, which was far down, to cut off his head. This way, he fell forward, didn't have to walk so far, it was right in front of him. So once again, why the necessity for that nace? What, I think it would have said, David said, oh no, what was this all worth? I have to walk, 10 meters to cut off his head, Why did this have to happen? I mean, who cares? You have to walk a few meters to cut off his head, he was victorious, he won it. So, So why is such a nation necessary like that? Besides, like we always say, Hashem doesn't just do miracles for nothing. There's something, a lesson here. So the answer to all these three questions, we'll give with a short mashal. Right? What would you say about the following scenario? A kid comes home from school, and he says, Abba, guess what? I got 100 on my test. So the father takes the test, looks at it, unbelievable, beautiful, 100 on your test, you deserve something. The kid's all excited. So the father goes to the cupboard in the kitchen, opens up it, comes to the kid, and goes, here you go, and he gives him a slice of bread. Right? You got 100 on your test, deserve a slice of bread. So what we say about that? I say, that's not a prize. Why not? A slice of bread. Because a slice of bread anyways is going to give the kid. I mean, that's the, you know, the bread and butter. You know, that's the basic, that's who's going to leave it anyway. The staple of life. So that, what should he give him if he wants to give him a prize? A piece of candy, you know, candy bar, something like that. Something not a staple, something that he doesn't eat every day. Right? That's a prize. So if he wants to show his, you know, his dearness, his love of his child, so something special, so you give something not that he doesn't need, an extra. The Mela then answers all three questions. With killing Goliath, right? So David HaMelech, you know, what he killed Goliath. Now killing Goliath, that was something which is a staple, okay? Because, you know, the Plishtim waged war and this, and he was the, you know, they had to beat the Plishtim. So David HaMelech, so the fact that Hashem helped him, and that's the bread, that's giving him the bread, that he killed, that he was able to kill Goliath. However, that doesn't show Hashem's love towards David HaMelech. So what did he do? He did something he didn't have to do. Dafka, we said, why do you have to make him fall forward and back? Because he didn't have to go a few meters to cut off his head. Who cares? That's it. That's the candy. That's the candy bar. That's something Daf to show his love. Otherwise, he didn't show his love to David HaMelech. Yeah, he basically had to do this nation to save the Jewish people. What Dafka, he didn't have to do there, that's when the love comes through. So too, with the nation of Hanukkah, right? The same thing, right? Of course, you know, the Yevanim caused all these, you know, causing us to lose the Torah, etc. Hashem didn't do a miracle. If we weren't victorious in the war against the Yevanim, that would have been it. So that's the bread. That's the bread and butter, you know, being victorious over, you know, the war against the Greeks. 100%. But again, that doesn't show Hashem's love towards us. Love is something that Hashem does where he doesn't need to do. Not a basic, not a staple, something beyond that. So therefore, exactly like the Bnei Yeshua said, Hashem didn't have to do a miracle, make the Shemin, you know, he could have lit with the Shemin, it was Tameh, Tumu Tribetzibur. Hashem said, yeah, I'm Dafka going to do a miracle, because that's going to show I love the Jewish people. In a couple hundred years, they're going to go out to Galus for another couple thousand years, you know, so I have to leave them with a feeling that I love them. They're going to go into Galus, but I love them still. So he had to do something he didn't have to do, a little candy bar. Right, then that shows his love, not the action victory, which is something pretty much he has to do. It doesn't show his love. And finally, therefore, can answer the question from our parsha. Said the same thing. Here, Yosef is going down to Mitzrayim, so Hashem wanted to show his love to him. Okay, so if he saved his life or whatever, okay, whatever. But here, he did something extra. Like he said, he didn't have to do. So he would have gone down in a smelly caravan. Okay, so he's also a smelly caravan. No, he's going to be sold anyways, we said. Hashem said, yeah, but I'm going to do something to show my love towards you. I don't have to do it. It's an extra, right? It's a candy. That was the candy that Hashem gave Yosef to show, okay, you're going into, you know, down to Mitzrayim, whatever, but I love you. I'm showing my love towards you. I'm giving you something that I don't have to do. I don't have to do it, right? But that's not because of that. That shows my love towards you. So, story, which see this, you know, a little bit of extra sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu does for people. It's the story with Rav Shalom Shvodroni brings this down in his sefer. Rav Mordechai Pergamansky, he was once traveling with a fellow. He was a shochet moel, and they were traveling together in a train. And they had to get up to a certain place, whatever, both of them. But they got very involved in talking Torah, this, that. And they got so involved, they missed their stop. Normally, it wouldn't have been such a terrible thing. But as it happened, it was Erev Shabbos. And missing a stop in Erev Shabbos is the problem. So suddenly, you know, Mordechai's, you know, a friend looks up and goes, wait a minute, and realize we missed our stop. He goes, oh no, what are we going to do? We're lost. So Mordechai said, okay, what we're going to do, I don't know. But we're not lost. Says, there's no such thing. Says, a yid is never gets lost. Right? It's always a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says, he brought a raya from Hagar. It says in Parshas Vayera, it says, v'telech v'teta. Teta means, to'eh, means lost. And the Rashi brings down that she was lost, she went off the derech, and she went back to the idol worship of her father. She said, that's a goy. A goy gets lost, but a Jew never gets lost. What's this thing? So we're not lost. Okay, we don't know where we are, but we're not lost. So they have to get off at the first stop, you know, because it's going to be Shabbat soon. So they get off next stop, and middle of nowhere. Of course, no Jews around. They think there's any Jews around. But they made some inquiries, whatever, and they were happy to find out that there was one Jewish, you know, family over here in this town. They said, okay, Baruch Hashem, at least there's somewhere to go. So they went to this house, you know, here it is, on the mezuzah. They knock on the door. This man opens the door, and he, like, turns white, and he starts crying or whatever, very emotional or whatever. And they're deciding, like, what's going on, you know. So he you know, calms down, and he tells them, says, you're not going to believe this. He says, what? He says, well, here we are, I out of nowhere, you know, and Baruch Hashem, we had a baby 8 days ago. It was a boy. Okay? So today was bris. But bris, how are we going to give a bris? I'm not a moel. No moel even anywhere to be found. You know, how am I ever going to, you know, find a moel? It's impossible, right? Okay, patru. Onus rachman a patru, but, you know, we patru, but, you know, I want to give my son a bris. So I dumb into Hashem, you know, please help me, whatever. And as we said, one of the Mordechai's friend was a shochet and a moel, you know. So here we are, you know. So he did the bris, and the Mordechai was the sundek, and whatever, and everything was great, and he spent the Shabbos there. And as they left, you know, Mordechai turned to his friend and says, I told you, a yid doesn't get lost, you know, no system. So here it's, the guy was potter, right? Or it's Rechaman a potter, but Kosh Baruch Hu, you know, showed his love for him, gave him something that he didn't have to, per se, give to him, but sometimes Hashem shows his love to him. I was wondering, because Rav Mordechai said to this guy, a Jew never gets lost, so you don't find this love, to'eh, you know, go off that somebody, a yid doesn't get lost. Hagar gets lost, but not a yid. I was wondering from this week's Sedra, right, it says that on the way, when Yosef was sent by his father to meet his brothers, so it says, v'yimtze'ehu ish, right, v'hine to'eh basadeh. Yosef was to'eh. He was lost in the field. A yid doesn't get lost. It's a cute vor, they say. And the Rashi says over here, who is this Ish? So Rashi says that it was the Malach Gavriel. So when you say Ish, who's the Ish? The Malach Gavriel. So they ask, in last week's Sedra, right, and so we find also Yavik Ishimo Alos HaShachar. Who is Yaakov fighting with? Also an Ish. Who is the Ish there? Sarosh Shel Esav. So how did Chazal know that they both said Ish in both places? How did they know that this Ish was the Malach Gavriel and that Ish was Sarosh Shel Esav? So they say, they just look what they're doing. What was the Ish doing in last week's Sedra? Fighting with Yaakov Avinu. Fighting, that's Sarosh Shel Esav. What was the Ish doing in this week's Parsha? Helping out Yosef, giving advice, where to find his brothers or whatever. So that Ish, that's Malach Gavriel. But anyway, it's interesting though, because really, we see from here that Yosef wasn't lost. This is one of the places the Ramban says his famous statement, right? The famous words of the Ramban, as he says, "Hagzera emes v'hacharitza sheker." That when Hashem is gozer, that's the emes, and a person tries, whatever, that's all sheker. Everything in the hands of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can do whatever you want, but in the end, it's all a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Ramban brings it here. So I saw Parish, I go, how does that apply over here? Yosef, he wasn't really interested in, you know, going to find his brothers, who were going to, you know, probably kill him, which they plotted to do, right? But his father sent him, you know, so he was going. So here he was, lost in the field, but he wasn't really interested in being found. You know, he wasn't really like, oh, I got to find my way out of here. Nah, he wasn't lost, you know. He wasn't making an effort to find his way out. He didn't want to get out. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, okay, you don't want to get it, but you can't stop it. It's meant to be, you're supposed to go to your brothers, you're going to go to your brothers, watch this, boom, Malach Gavriel, and there he was. So the Maisa, Yosef wasn't really lost either here. So this whole idea of Kodesh Baruch Hu showing his love and his endearment towards us is really the essence of what Hanukkah in general is all about. That there's an interesting word from Rav Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich. He says that we find three of the personalities in Chumash, Kodesh Baruch Hu said their name twice. Hashem called Avram. Right? He called Moshe, Yaakov, and Moshe. So what is this idea? So as I'll say, it shows endearment. So Torah Tmima, right, he says, how does this show endearment? So he says, because somebody, this time you're calling a guy, you know, you want to talk to him, you call him over, so you say, hey, Moshe, come here. You call him once, and then you tell him what you have to tell him. He says, but a parent, right, he'll constantly call them, oh, Moshe, come here, Moshe, oh, Moshe, come here, Moshe, over and over again. Why? Because the parent enjoys the kid so much that he loves to call him by his name. It's part of it shows the endearment of the parent. So Agav reminds me of a joke. This guy was pushing his baby carriage, and the kid was screaming his head out, and he's putting the carriage. And the whole way, the parents going, Yankala, just calm down, Yankala. Yankala, calm down. The kid's, he goes, calm down, Yankala, calm down. Finally, the kid doesn't stop. So he goes over to the kid, picks him up, and it's a cute little girl with a skirt dressed in pink, whatever. So the guy's standing there, he goes, I understand, why would you name your son Yankala? He goes, no, you don't understand, I'm Yankala. Okay. Anyways, so this calling the name over and over, that shows endearment. And we find this Dafka by who are the three again? By Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe. So the famous Gemara, says Rav Ehrenreich, in Shabbos. What's the famous Gemara in Shabbos? Starts off, my Chanukah. Right, the famous Gemara in Shabbos talks about Chanukah, starts off, my Chanukah. So he says, my, what's my, mem aleph yud? What does that stand for? Moshe, Avram, and Yaakov. Those are the three that Kodesh Baruch Hu said their name twice. So this is endearment. That's why Hanukkah is the essence of endearment. I heard recently a joke, though, that my Hanukkah, right, what's my Hanukkah? Because the situation today, the economic situation is so bad that someone whose salary is supposed to come in Mai only comes in at Hanukkah. Mai Hanukkah. Okay. Anyways, so that's what Hanukkah shows, because this endearment of Kodesh Baruch Hu to us. Like we said, he didn't have to do this nace, and he did the nace. So Donnie Bader once told me, he says that we see this endearment also on our side. Okay? That we also did to do some things that we don't have to do. What is that? We like Mahadrim Mitzvah Mahadrim. You know, they ask. We don't find this by other mitzvahs that became such an accepted thing to do it the Mahadrim Mitzvah Mahadrim, right? So not just to light one candle every day for the whole household even, and finish. You know, we go over and beyond, more and more, extra things we don't really have to do. Because that's the essence of the holiday. That's Hashem, what he did to us. He went out of his way to show his love for us, his endearment towards us. So too, we do the same. In fact, the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, he says mitzvah near Hanukkah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad meod. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas, that's all he says. Why does it say we're lush? It's chaviva hi ad meod. It should have said gedola hi ad meod. The mitzvah of Hanukkah is very great, but here he Dafkas changes the lush. It's chaviva, and once again, because that's the essence of Hanukkah, this chavivas. So I saw a beautiful story once of a person, like we said, showing his chavivus to Kodesh Baruch Hu by doing something that he didn't have to do. Beyond. The fellow's name was Rav Shimshon Dini. He was a teacher for many years, and he lived in Bnei Brak. So eventually he retired, and there was a fellow that, a Talmud of his, that needed a loan of a substantial amount of money. And he knew that's an address of somebody, you know, a rather wealthy person, they could give him this loan. So he asked him for the loan, and he said, no, nothing doing, I don't trust you, you know, you don't have enough, you know, backing, and I don't want to give you a loan. Anyway, so this Talmud came to Rav Shimshon and says, do me a favor, I need this loan very badly, you won't give me a loan, I don't have backing, whatever. And she goes, okay, I'll see what I can do. So he goes to the person, the gvir, and he says, listen, don't worry, you can trust him, he's a good guy, give him the loan, or whatever. So he said, fine, if you say that, I'll give it to him. So he gave him the loan. What happened? In the end, he didn't pay up. So this fellow, the gvir, came to Rav Shimshon, and he said, listen, you told me I can rely on this, you told me to whatever, and I did, and he didn't come through, he couldn't pay me the money. Now what? Maybe you could like to help me out here? So he didn't know what to do. You know what to do. And it's true, he gave him this advice to go to him, but it's a lot of money. He didn't know what to do. So he went to Rav Aaron Leibstein, and he said, what should I do? So Rav Aaron Leib said, listen, he said, of course, halachically, you don't have a chiyuv to pay him the money. You know, you didn't sign as a guarantor. He just, you know, you told him, yeah, you can't rely on this gift. Yeah, you made a mistake. You know, but you don't have a chiyuv. But, he says, even so, even though you don't have a chiyuv, but since the mitzvah came by, you know, your way, you arranged a loan or whatever, came by here. So he says, you know what, I understand it's a lot of money, but I'm sure the guy will be asking if you spread out the loan, you know, pay back for a while, pay back a little bit, and if you pay it back, you'll see in the schus of you know, this mitzvah, it'll protect you as long as you're osik in it. So he says, okay, as the, you know, Rav Aaron Leib told him, he said, fine. He went up to the guy, says, listen, I'm willing to pay back because I gave you the bad advice, and I'll pay it back, but I don't have a lot of money, I don't have all that money, but can I spread out the payback for over a year, whatever? He said, no problem, whatever you want, at least I'll have my money back. So he spread it out for quite a while, a little payback, a little bit each month, whatever, and sure enough, what happened, everything was fine until he paid back the last payment, and shortly after that, he was nifted. Mamish, like Rav Aaron Leib said, as long as you pay the osik in his mitzvah, you'll have protection. And then the schus of paying it. So here's, again, someone who goes beyond the letter of the law and chose his chavivis, and the Kosh Baruch Hu in turn shows his love. I'd like to conclude with one last little story, but also Shimson Pinchas brings us down, as it shows his chavivis as well. That in the time in the 50s when Stalin, Yimach Shmo, was ruling, so he made this, he came out with this libel against the Jewish doctors. He said that they were poisoning the population in Russia, whatever. So a lot of the, you know, they were taken into custody, whatever, a lot of the Jewish doctors. So there was one Jewish mishpacha, and the father was a doctor, and sure enough, one day he disappeared. So they assumed that they took him. Anyways, their family was without their father. And as a result, since he was taken away, you know, with the KGB or whatever, they had to make sure that he were not allowed to have any kesher, any connection with any of the neighbors, nobody. Not allowed to talk. As soon as they talked to everybody, they got people in trouble as well. So they were not allowed to talk to anybody. So it was a couple of years passed, and he was still no sign of the father. And it was Purim. So they said to the little kid, said to his mother, what are we going to do? We have to send Mishloach Manot, but nobody, we can't send it to anybody, because no, we're not allowed to kesher with anybody. What are we going to do with our Mishloach Manot? So the mother thought for a minute, she goes, okay, I have an idea. She says, let's send our Mishloach Manot to Kodesh Baruch Hu, okay? Because we can't send it to anybody, so we'll send it to him. So she took it, she had a piece of cake, and she said, well, this will send to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the kid said, Ima, that's very nice, but you need two things, and this is only one, you know. So the mother said, you got a point there. So the kid says, wait a second, I have an idea. He says, you know, even though our father always taught us, even though it's Hashem b'simcha, you know, always b'simcha, but because of the matzav, you know, it's hard to be b'simcha. So instead, he says, maybe our tears will cry onto this piece of bread, and the meila, we'll have a mezonos and a shahakol, two different meanings. You know, the tears and the bread and then the cake, and that'll be the Mishloach Manos for Kodesh Baruch. So my mother was very, of course, emotional, taken aback, and they, you know, put this cake down or whatever. All of a sudden, it's a knock on the door. They open the door. Who is it there? Who's there? Father. The 2 years shows up. And the mother said, you see that? You know, here we are. We sent our, went, you know, above and beyond and sent our gift to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he in turn sent us a gift back for Purim. That's Chaviva is doing something extra. So that's our avoda. We're supposed to take, we said, from Hanukkah, which is Bezat Hashem coming upon us soon, that realize that's the whole, the whole Hanukkah represents this Chavivas of Hashem towards us, which is usually reflection, meter kegel meter. If we go out of our way, we do X, 100 meter 100, we do things we don't really have to do, then in turn, Kadosh Baruch Hu, meter kegel meter, there's things that we don't really need, just to show his chavivas towards us as well. And we can all hope that Hashem will go beyond, above and beyond, and send us Mashiach Tzidkenu, here of Yemin.
Amen. Amen.